I told you at the top of the show that not only are things going well in Virginia, and not only has it been somewhat of a challenging year for the sport of thoroughbred racing, I'm going to talk about those things with our next guest, but I think even more importantly is the fact that today is Pearl Harbor Day, a day to remember what happened 78 years ago, December 7th, 1941, and I know that hits home for so many of you who had family members that were either killed or injured in that attack, or even those of you who have served in the military, in particular the Naval Academy and the Navy. It really does hit home, and this is a special day, and I couldn't think of anybody better to help look back on Pearl Harbor Day and look ahead to what the industry faces than D.G. Van Cleef, who is a retired Navy officer and former president of the Breeders' Cup and the man who helped launch everything with the NTRA, now the chairman of the Virginia Racing Commission. D.G., good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Mike, and thanks for having me on the program.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And, you know, I'll go one step further. We have a segment on this show every Saturday morning, which is called the Industry Star of the Week. It's presented by our friend Stuart Morris, who consigns horses to all the major sales. And I couldn't think, on this particular day, I couldn't think of anybody better to honor as our Industry Star of the Week with everything you've accomplished in the sport and, of course, serving our country. So, first of all, congratulations on that, and thank you for your service.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not sure that's all that well deserved in my case, but you're very nice, and thank you for tying the show into a remembrance of Pearl Harbor and those who sacrificed so much all those years ago.
As somebody who served in the Navy, when you hear the date, December 7th, 1941, what are some of the things that come to mind for you, DG?
Well, as a child, we grew up on World War II history. My dad was a combat infantryman, served in Europe with the 4th Infantry Division. And so we were pretty well indoctrinated into the history. And so anybody that says December 7th around our house, we all know exactly what happened on that day and what it means and what it meant for the country at that point.
Talk a little bit about your service and the reason that you ended up joining the Navy.
Well, my service, I should hasten to point out, was not terribly consequential, certainly compared to many who have given more time and sacrificed a lot more than I ever did. But I did serve in the Navy. I was commissioned as an officer shortly after graduating from the University of Virginia, and I served my 3 years on active duty with the 2nd Marine Division.
Okay. And was that something when you were in the Navy, were you, I assume you were always conscious about what happened 78 years ago?
Absolutely. Of course, it's a day that is a big deal. And certainly from a naval service standpoint, it's something that nobody that ever served will ever forget.
I know that you have ties to the horse industry in Virginia. Your family has ties to the horse industry, so you were kind of raised in the sport. How did you eventually become, on the executive side of things, how did you eventually get into that side of it?
Well, I had an opportunity to come to Lexington and go to work for Fezzik Tipton back in the mid-1970s. I was employed at their insurance agency, then migrated over to the sales company, ended up getting recruited into a racetrack management job in Los Angeles, and then back to go to work for this new concept back then in 1982 called the Breeders' Cup.
You know, it's interesting. You mentioned Breeders' Cup. I can remember, and I don't know if I've ever had, I don't think I have, I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to thank you publicly for this, but when my wife and I first moved from Massachusetts to Kentucky in 1997, we didn't know anybody. I just wanted to get involved in the industry somehow. Started knocking on doors. One door that I knocked on, and I'm eternally grateful for doing it, is Benny Bell and Ruthie Bowen, who were, Benny still has her advertising agency, but in 1997 she had one at a different location. And I can remember she sat down with me, and I told her I wanted to get involved in the business, and she made a list of people to go talk to. And your name was on that list. Nick Nicholson was on that list. And I'm thinking, these are people I've only seen on TV and read about in the racing form. There's no way I'm going to pick up the phone and call them. But I did. I called you. You took my meeting. You sat down and talked with me and gave me some great advice. And so I'll thank you now publicly all these years later for all your help and all your support.
Well, you're more than welcome. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah, I'll never forget that day. So let's talk about what's happening now in Virginia. I mentioned your role that you were kind of started in 2013. But I mentioned that role that you're now the chairman of the Virginia Racing Commission. Tell me about what's happening in the state.
Okay. We're very pleased with where we are right now. And in fact, the word renaissance or the word revival would apply. 5 years ago, Virginia Racing was virtually flat on its back. In 2014, the owner of Colonial Downs surrendered their operating license, and everything with the exception of steeplechasing went pretty dormant. Luckily for the industry, a not-for-profit organization, which became an umbrella over the horsemen, the breeders, the racing association operators that remained, called the Virginia Equine Alliance, emerged. And that gave the industry, or what was left of it, some political clout. And it led to, several years later, Governor Northam here in Virginia signing our historical horse racing wagering bill, which put racing back on its feet almost immediately. And, of course, the rest is history. This year, we've got historical horse racing up and running. We went from just a few million dollars in handle in this state, most of it through ADW, to $900 million in handle on HHR thus far this year. Probably total handle of around $1 billion this year, and 15 days of live racing. And we're very proud of what the group that now operates Colonial Downs has achieved. It was a superb race meet. We had great support from around the country, from stables and trainers around the country, and it looks like we're off and running. I think the future looks bright.
Yeah, what does 2020 hold in terms of what we might be looking at for that Colonial Downs meet, and how that might affect what we see on the other sides of the industry in Virginia, a la the breeding industry, for example?
I think you can expect to see some growth. It won't be immense, but it'll be important. We have 15 days of racing this year. The current historical horse racing legislation and regulations tie live racing to the number of horse racing, or historical horse racing, I should say, machines deployed. So as more machines are deployed in the state, there'll be more live days of racing. I think you will see somewhere in the vicinity of between 20 and 25 days of racing next year.
Wow.
That's yet to be determined. We're expecting a license and dates application at our meeting upcoming in a couple of weeks, and we'll know a little more then. But I think we'll see some growth as early as next year.
I can tell you, after we were part of the Virginia Derby and providing that coverage here on the network, that just being there, there was, number one, a sense of pride, because Virginia has a long and storied racing history. There was a sense of pride that was palpable. And then there was an excitement and an enthusiasm that you don't often get at smaller racetracks like that. There was a buzz, DG, that I know you were there, but there was a buzz that I felt from our broadcast position, and I felt it all throughout the entire night. It means an awful lot to people.
Well, you could feel that buzz actually throughout the meet.
Yep.
I think part of it is that after an absence of 4 years and no action at that racetrack at all, it's novel again. That is an area of the state where the jobs that are being created by the resurgence of racing are very important to the population there. I think that added a positive feel to it. And there, as you point out, there's a sense of pride. There's a great history when it comes to horse racing in the Commonwealth of Virginia, and I think people were proud to be there. So it was a great buzz, and I hope we can sustain it.
Talking with D.G. Van Cleef Jr. here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. As I mentioned, D.G., the former president of the Breeders' Cup, who was instrumental in launching the NTRA and now chairman of the Virginia Racing Commission, and more importantly, a retired Navy officer. And we remember Pearl Harbor on this day 78 years later. DG, in terms of what we're seeing on the national scale, this has been, to say the least, a difficult year for the sport of thoroughbred racing with some of the things that have taken place. From your perspective, as somebody who has served this sport for so many years and served in a very high level, where do you see this sport currently, and where do you see it heading?
Well, I think you look at it a couple of different ways. I mean, from the standpoint of just business indicators, 2019 looks like it's going to wind up being okay. Maybe not great, but stable, and that's good. At this point, it looks like our national handle figures are off a little bit compared to 2018, maybe down about 1.5%. But purses look like they're going to wind up about 5%, so that's good news. The boutique meats, which you would expect, such as Keeneland and Del Mar, Saratoga, Oaklawn, and now Colonial Downs, are doing very well. Alternative revenue sources, in this case, historical horse racing, are coming online in a very important way. It's what's enabled live racing to come back in Virginia, and it's creating, from where I sit, a bit of a revival in Kentucky too, with what's going on at Churchill, the acquisition of Turfway. I think that's good news across the board. Obviously, it's been a challenging year for thoroughbred horse racing, and we all are under the microscope, whether we want to be or not, with a sort of tsunami of negative opinion generated by activists, state government, and the media in California after the rash of fatalities there. Safety is obviously front and center, and we are under a microscope, and how we conduct ourselves over the next several years, I think, will be essential. So we understand that here in Virginia, and putting safety first and foremost for our equine and human athletes was a big deal leading into the race meet this summer.
Yeah, you know, every time we're faced with adversity in the sport, especially on a national level, the cry goes out to create a national racing commission and to have a racing commissioner like you have in other sports with the NBA and with the NFL and Major League Baseball. We don't have that, and we don't have it because of the way that our sport is set up with the individual states kind of having their own legislations and their own set of rules. If somebody came to you and said, hey, we can do this, we can create a National Racing Commission, we want you to be the commissioner, what's the first thing or the first couple of things you're going to focus on in that position to move the sport forward?
Well, I think most of us would agree that uniformity, it's long been elusive, but it is a highly desirable goal. And I think we have to keep working towards uniformity. However we get there, maybe beside the point, but we need uniform rules, and we need rules that will ensure the safety of our athletes. So I think adversity sometimes brings us together. Maybe it's the only thing that brings this industry together. And you're seeing a move, whether it's through federal legislation or through cohesion amongst racing operators. I think we're going to see a great deal of movement towards uniformity. I think we've got a chance to get there this time, and I think that will be absolutely critical, not only from the standpoint of implementing protocols, safety protocols that really work, but also from a public perception standpoint, and you cannot overemphasize the importance of that perception.
Yeah, he's D.G. Van Cleef here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and D.G., like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love and embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. DG, really appreciate the visit. And again, thank you for taking a little time to remember Pearl Harbor. And thank you for your service to our country as well.
Well, thank you, Mike. Again, thank you for that remembrance. And I appreciate being on the show. It's great to talk with you again.